Tradition has its place, but as times and real life needs change, tradition has to make allowances for new ways. And certainly an outlook required of the education process. As the real world progresses, required skills for achievement grow as well. Joining us as a starting guest this week is someone who saw this developing path and approached it with a combination of acceptance as well as innovation, which has produced potential in not just teachers, but students that could have easily remained untapped and unfulfilled. His work in education development has spread from New Jersey to not just other places in the country, but overseas as well. We'll get into this a bit with him, too. He's the executive director of the New Jersey Center for Teaching and Learning, Bob Goodman. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Chris.
And let me give you the website to learn more about this, especially if you are a school administrator or a local official, because this is a program, based upon at least my research, that I do believe you'll want to have instituted in your school. If you haven't thought about this already, it's njctl.org, njctl.org. So just as a foundation starting point, Bob, give a overview of what's the, I guess you'd call it, the mission statement of the New Jersey Center for Teaching and Learning.
Well, our mission is to empower teachers to lead school improvement so that all students have access to quality education. And really, it's an alternative approach to school reform driven by teachers and from the bottom up instead of from policymakers down.
So is this a process by which more teachers become science majors and better teachers of STEM subjects, or is it a way to encourage more science majors to become teachers?
Well, actually, it's a novel approach that to address a problem that people all talk about, but no one's really done much about, and that is that most students don't have access to high quality science and math instruction, or many students don't, especially if you define, as I do, science instruction to include physics and chemistry. So, physics and chemistry are the most required subjects from science in any STEM major that's majoring in science, technology, engineering, mathematics, but that includes medicine and veterinary science and so forth. So if you're going into those fields, if you want to be an engineer, if you want to be a doctor, you really need to be able to do the most required courses are physics and chemistry and then calculus. And the problem is a lot of students don't have access to those, and they don't even know they'd be good at them because they really don't get exposed to them. So what we did at my school is we reversed the science sequence so that all students take physics and then chemistry and then biology. So grades 9, 10, 11, or sometimes grades 8, 9, 10, they do those three courses. And the courses are all designed so that all the students are prepared to go on and take advanced placement, more advanced courses in those subjects. So if they like them, they can do more of them. If they don't like them, they've at least had the chance to experience them. And we did that at my school starting in 99, which is a brand new full-time vocational school. And we had students who had below average results in middle school science and math. And by structuring it this way and by teaching it in a friendlier way where students sit around round tables and interact with one another and they work together on problems instead of in isolation, we got great results. My school, Bergen Tech in Teterboro, went from a school that couldn't even fill all of its seats back in 99 when we started to being one of the top-rated schools in the country now. And there's been a desire. It became number one in the state for the percentage of kids taking and passing advanced placement physics. And I got to be State Teacher of the Year in 2005 because of those results. And everyone wanted to scale this up to more places. And the problem was you couldn't scale it to more schools because schools didn't have physics or chemistry teachers. So it turns out if you look at it, the country needs about 36,000 more physics teachers if one who currently has access to biology were to also have access to physics. So this is a long way to get to your question, but to answer your question, but the bottom line was that we needed to create a lot more physics teachers if we're going to bring this to school districts across the state and across the world. And the traditional approach has been you take a physics major and turn them into a teacher, and then that becomes a physics teacher. The problem is, and I came from the business world, so I like business-like solutions, but just on the face of it, that can't work because there's only 6,000 physics majors in the United States. If all of them became physics teachers, it would still take you 6 years, assuming no one retires, to get access to provide access to all students. So we went the other way, which is we said, let's take good quality teachers and teach them physics, because just like at my school, we proved that every student could take physics and succeed in physics. why don't we take motivated teachers and teach them physics to turn into them the physics teachers? And we started doing that in 2009, a few years after I was state teacher of the year, and the state wanted to bring this to more schools. And they let us do a program like this at the New Jersey Center for Teaching and Learning. And we immediately became the number one producer of physics teachers in the United States. And we've been the number one producer ever since. We've produced 175 new physics teachers, which means tens of thousands of students have been taking physics who wouldn't have. And those teachers have proven very successful. The schools they're in are now 8 of the top 20 schools in the state of New Jersey for the percentage of kids taking advanced placement physics. So, and then, as you pointed out, that's now traveled around the country, but also around the world. So we're also a major producer of physics teachers now in West Africa. And the World Bank is talking to us about scaling this up in both to more countries, but also into other subjects. So we just received a grant from the World Bank through the Ministry of Education of the Gambia to take the same teaching and learning approach that has worked so well for science and math and expand it to English language courses, because it turns out kids like learning the way we're teaching them. And once we put teachers in classrooms and we train them how to teach this way, everyone's happier. The kids are happier. The students are happy. The kids are happier. The teachers are happier. And they're getting great results. So it's, as I said sort of at the beginning, this is sort of a bottom-up approach that's fundamental to the center, rather than having a policymaker say, you know, starting next Wednesday, everyone in the state has to take physics. What we've done is we've just talked to schools, talked to teachers and administrators, explained how this works, and turns out it reduced costs, because we don't use textbooks. All of our materials are free and open source. They're editable, so teachers can make them what they want them to be, but they're all structured in a way that they can do from kindergarten to 12th grade, because we've also expanded now throughout the whole spectrum of math and science. So it can go from kindergarten to 12th grade in math, kindergarten to 12th grade in science. It's all free, so it reduces the cost. We estimate the country pays about $1.5 billion a year for math and science textbooks, drives that to zero, so that money can be reinvested to make the schools better, to better train teachers, to bring technology into classrooms. So it's a much better return on investment than you get from a standard model of teaching and learning.
Without a doubt, and the mechanics of what you developed, as you said, can be plugged into any topics. We're talking with Bob Goodman, who is Executive Director of the New Jersey Center for Teaching and Learning. NJCTL.org is their website. School administrators, you do want to visit that website and learn more about how this program has been making a positive impact with just really fantastic results all across the board. And that's something I want to ask too, Bob, you're listening to Issues and Ideas. People, the layperson, maybe even some educators might think advanced courses and subjects like this, this is something you would plug into the quote-unquote doing well schools, that when you always see those lists that New Jersey Magazine comes out with, the top performing schools. This sounds, and looking at some of the results that you mentioned, as well as others over at njctl.org, this is a program and an education system that could be plugged into maybe one of the poorer performing schools and become a school turnaround tool.
Well, that's exactly right. And it turns out that a lot of kids think a lot of adults, by the way, and kids think they don't like math or science, but it turns out they really just didn't like the way it was taught to them. If you teach math and science in a way that's engaging, where students are collaborating with their peers and working together on solving problems and they're talking together, they love doing that. And we've made math and science the favorite subjects of most kids and actually most teachers, as we train teachers to teach this way, and we teach them. It takes them 300 hours to learn the physics content and how to teach it. So that's a full year of work. It's pretty intense, but the teachers love it just as much as the kids, because it's sort of an engaging problem-solving process. And when I said that 8 of the top 20 schools in the state of New Jersey for taking AP physics are our schools, or the schools where we train these teachers, most of those are would be classified. Many of them would have been classified as underperforming schools. And for instance, our eight schools, more than 60% of the students are Black or Hispanic, and more than 60% of the students are in free and reduced lunch. And if you look at the other 12 schools in the top 20, those numbers are less than 10%. So you had your traditional high-performing, affluent suburban schools that were performing well compared to urban schools. They're not performing particularly well compared to international standards. but they don't look at that. They look at how they're doing next to their neighbors. We're now implementing this program in schools that were way underperforming, the suburban schools, and now when it comes to these subjects, they're performing at or above the level of the suburban schools. So it's it shows what can happen with systemic change. You know, if you just keep trying to tweak a broken model, you don't get anywhere. If you really want to drive change, you've got to look at your basic assumptions and look at what has to be done from the bottom up, from the beginning to the end. And if you engage it that way, what's seemingly impossible becomes possible.
Representative Bob Goodman, who's Executive Director of the New Jersey Center for Teaching and Learning. It's njctl.org, their website, listening to issues and ideas. And as you can hear Bob detail, he's basically put into play an education process that converts students from being sponges into sparks, in a manner of speaking, and become more eager to be challenged and to overcome those educational challenges. So for a school system, every school system is going to have its own nuances and specifics, but as far as an implementation process timetable, how long does it take to install what you've developed into something that's functioning in a school that wants to embrace these ideas?
Well, it really depends, you know, and you're completely correct that it really, every school is different and unique, and they're going to adopt in a different way. I mean, last year, we post on our website all of this content that drives this transformation, because you can't really drive this in a way that's effective or meaningful without giving a lot of materials away. So we spent $1 million plus a year for several years based on donations we received. We don't charge for any of it, and that's all available at the website at njctl.org. And anyone can go there anytime and download it. And last year we had 1.8 million file downloads from 294,000 unique users around the world. More than half of those are in New Jersey, but about half of those are not in New Jersey. And they do span the world. The number two country using our materials, for instance, is India. So we've never been to India. People just go there. They look at our content and they figure out how to use it. And we do have papers written and a lot of research that explains how to use it. That's often not enough because it really is changing teaching and learning. It's really explaining to teachers how if they say less, students will learn more, how to create a process in a classroom. So schools can adopt, they can decide, like, for instance, I'm on Long Island right now because we've been asked to train 26th grade teachers in how to teach this way because there was a district that felt like the kids were underperforming in middle school math. So they want to use our materials, but they also need to create, they want to double the time the kids take sixth grade math, so they had to have double the number of teachers. So we're training those teachers over the course of 9 weeks and how to do that. So if it's just using materials, you could do that tomorrow morning, and teachers around the world are. They may not even be telling their administrators. They just go on the site, download stuff, and start teaching with it because you don't need to pay anything for anything, for any of those materials. If there's training involved to learn how to use the materials and there's not a new certification required. So, for instance, a middle school math teacher just wants to use our middle school math materials and they want to get trained. That can be 24 hours of training, you know, so a few sessions, or it could be, you know, from that to nothing. So we do all of that. If you want to become a physics teacher, it's more intensive because we take a teacher of anything. They started out being mostly math and science, but we've had theater arts teachers, social studies teachers, sixth grade teachers become high school physics teachers through our program, in which case you have to teach them physics and how to teach physics. And that takes a major commitment. It could still be done in a year because the way that commitment works is the teachers spend about 112 hours learning physics, and they basically sit around the same round tables that their kids will sit around. They use polling devices, electronic polling devices, and interactive whiteboards to live in the atmosphere as if they're one of the students they'll be teaching. And they take that first course and they succeed in that first course. If they do that before the beginning of the school year in September, so they can do it. We just started an online course, another online course section a couple days ago. We're going to start another one in April. We do it face-to-face in July and different sites in New Jersey. So if you take that 112 hours, in the summer it'd be like 19 six-hour days or something like that. You take that course, the state in New Jersey will allow you to teach that physics course, not physics in general, but just the course you just learned you can teach to kids. While you're doing that, you take another 188 hours of instruction. So you meet about one night a week or every third Saturday and every third Saturday through the year to learn advanced placement physics course material. And but you're partly learning by learning this new material in classes at night, but a lot of what you're learning is going to be in your classrooms as you're interacting and teaching with the kids, because you never really learn something until you teach it. So that teaching and learning process all weaves together. So after 300 hours, which is equivalent to about 30 graduate credits, you know, we go into classrooms and observe the teachers and give them feedback and such. After that process, they take the praxis exam, which is the same exam a physics major would take to show the content, and then you get fully certified to be a physics teacher. That takes you a year, but it doesn't take the district a year to have students start taking physics. Students will start taking physics. If a district decided to do that today, they could have their students all taking physics in ninth grade this coming fall, and then the chemistry course flows from that and so forth. And they'd be getting, you know, they'd be in the top 20 for percentage of kids taking and succeeding in AP physics. So it's not as hard a process as people think, and it saves money because whatever it costs to train these teachers is negligible compared to the savings that occur, because they're no longer buying textbooks and materials and so forth, and which can cost a fortune. You could be spending $15-$20 a year per student per course, so maybe $40 a student per year goes to zero. That covers the cost of doing all this, so you just made education less expensive and better. And the other big gain you get here, not only does science make more sense, because, you know, physics is the foundation for chemistry, and chemistry and physics is the foundation for biology, but by teaching a mathematically rigorous physics course to all ninth graders, but a course that only requires the use of algebra, which is 90% of what the AP physics course uses as well, by teaching that, you get these dramatic gains in math without even changing the math courses. Because for the first time, kids see the value of learning math. They learn math in a context. They're not just solving equations on a piece of paper. They're going outside and calculating how high a rocket must have gone based on equations they just learned in their classroom, and they're applying them in their groups and collaborating with their friends to say, how do we apply these to solve these problems? So it engages the students. And, for instance, we did this in Newark, which was one of the first districts that we worked with some schools to expand from my school, Bergen Tech in Teterboro. The first year, they had 2,000 students taking in the same algebra course. 300 of them were in our physics course, and 1,700 were taking their sort of standard environmental science course. And that year was the year of the American Diplomas Project Algebra 1 test. And the kids in the physics course scored 14% higher in algebra, even though they were in the same algebra course, because of what they got from physics. So you have to look at the whole structure by articulating what's happening from kindergarten to 12th grade in math, kindergarten to 12th grade in science, but as importantly, the science content that's being taught in each year that reinforces the math that's being taught in that year. You get something that's synergistic. The whole is much greater than the sum of those parts.
The results, as you'll see over at njctl.org, are spectacular, and that's the understatement of the morning. But for school administrators who are hearing this, I urge you to go to the website for the New Jersey Center for Teaching and Learning, njctl.org, and learn how this program, like Bob just described, in even further details on the website, how it can become quickly an asset to the education process that you oversee and for parents of students. This might sound a little forceful, but I think you should be demanding that this program be instituted in your child's school, because we are in a world of innovation, and to keep up with innovation, you need to be innovative, and that's what the New Jersey Center for Teaching and Learning empowers all schools, no matter what their performance level is, to be able to do. Find out more at njctl.org. He is the executive director of the New Jersey Center for Teaching and Learning, Bob Goodman. Bob, you are indeed making education the process it is supposed to be. Tradition has its place, but we have to always look at how it needs to be sparked, just as you spark the students to keep up with what's around it. And you are indeed making that possible and successful. And thanks for being here this morning.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. I appreciate it.